Hey, NDLers, welcome back to our sixth episode of the NDL Weekly Podcast. We are here to talk all things NDL. In today's episode, we're going to go through some house cleaning items. We are going to go through some Block 3 results, talk about the ever so tumultuous, contentious, whatever you want to call it, top 25 that comes out every Sunday morning. And then we'll talk a little bit about Block 4 as well. So no guests today, but we're just going to talk ball, going to talk about the state of the league and dive into it from there. So if there's anything I can recommend, if you're not going to listen to this whole thing, please at least listen to the first 20 minutes because we do want to talk about some house cleaning things here. So with that being said, Jason, welcome back. How's it going?
It's going all right. Good to be back. Another week down in the books, and looking forward to talking about what's going on right before we get to those college football playoff rankings.
Yeah, for those who are not aware, we will at this time next week, I believe, to start block five, have some Massey ratings, some college rankings. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll actually probably bring Holmey on next week to talk through that so everyone understands it well moving forward. But I'll get us started. I definitely want to address the note that was sent today in the chat by Nidler. Again, please, please, please read through those as much as you can. I know they're long, but they are worth it. Want to talk to you guys about the importance of the 40-40-20. I can't sit here and say that I understand it perfectly, but I will say it is important. So, right now, one thing we're seeing, obviously, stats are a little bit messed up. Just keep entering your stats, your player stats every game. Your coaching reports, that's a big one. Please make sure you are doing your coaches' reports at the end of every game. It is very, very important that, if you are not giving someone all fives based on their gameplay, their offense, their mix-up, their defense, their realism, whatever it is, please, you have to give feedback if you're not giving them a five. Even if you are giving them fives, always a great way to at least, say good game, hey, enjoyed playing you. So always a good thing there. And then recaps, of course, they don't need to be super in-depth or super long, but it's always great to provide recaps. These are just free points, guys. Like, I think one thing maybe some new coaches aren't realizing yet. And sorry as I go on a tirade, but some things that new coaches may not be realizing is that these are actually more important in your scoring system at the end of the season than your actual performance and your win goal. Winning's great, performance is great, right? But you might get to the end of the season if you're not doing some of the stats and recaps and coaching reports. You could go 10 and 2, 11 and 1, 12 and 0, and not score good enough to either keep your team or draft a better team or find the team to your liking. So just really want to reiterate those things, guys. Really important to do those. It keeps the league clean, it keeps it fun, keeps everybody engaged. I'll take a breath and pause there. Jason, anything you'd like to add about just that note that was sent out today?
No, I mean, like you said, the 40-40-20 thing is so important, and I don't think people fully understand that, you're what you do on the field in terms of the final score and the results is only worth 20% of your grade. And if you've, and it's like it was mentioned earlier, if you've got, a 75 rated team and you get perfect scores in your coaching reports and you get all your stats done and you get your recaps done, you can go 0-12 and still be drafting really well next year. Don't get discouraged by the fact that you may not be winning games or you may be struggling with the game because your team is overmatched. Look, we understand that, and we reward coaches who play the right way, even when they're losing, even when they're getting beat up, week in, week out. We reward those coaches by giving you a chance to draft higher next season. If you take care of the free stuff, then the rest of that stuff falls into place. But on the flip side, you can go 12 and 0, you can win a national title, and you can get fired from your job. We want this league to be fun and fair. That's the reason that it got created. Lobby play is not acceptable. If your opponent is doing things that are against the rules, pause the game and let them know. I've had multiple games where I've had to pause and credit my opponents. They say, "Oh, my bad, I didn't realize I couldn't do that," or, "Oh yeah, I forgot." And that's the last it has to be brought up. But if you don't say anything and then you get to the end of the game and you dock them, well, I mean, one, you could have gotten it resolved in game where it doesn't happen anymore. Two, it's a little unfair to dock a guy when you didn't say anything to him during the game. And three, neither coach walks away from the game having any fun. Because at the end of the day, while you may have fun winning that game, it's going to come back to bite you in the end. And I will say that every conference commissioner has access to the coaching reports for their conference. So if you have questions, if you're not sure how you're playing, how your opponents are deeming it, hit us up. We will be glad to go over any areas that you might need to focus on. We'll be glad to give you any insight. We are here to help you. We're not here to punish you. So if you have questions, feel free to reach out to us. Our goal is that everybody gets fives, that everybody gets all their free points, and nobody's sitting here at the end of the season wondering, well, why did I get fired from my job?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great way to put it, is like, we want this league to work. And it worked for 10 years before the 10-year break. But we realize things are way different, right? And we're kind of starting from scratch again. So we really aren't, we're in this to help. We want to help. We want this league to get back to the greatness that it was before the 10-year break. And, you know, I maybe came in here the first couple of weeks thinking that we were just going to, you know, pick up where we left off 10 years ago. And that's just not the case. But that's no discredit to anybody. You know, no one's played this game in a long time. And a lot of things have changed. But we are here to help. We want to see new coaches be part of this community for the next 10 years like we had 10 years prior. And I say that like 2004 to 2014, because the last 10 years, obviously, the community did get smaller. But yes, please, we're glad to help. We're glad to scrim. You know, I do want to shout out some guys that have been in this league a long time that, you know, play the game the way NDL intends to be played. So if you guys, new coaches out there, have any questions on what do they mean by sim style? What do they mean by mixing it up? I would strongly recommend to watch guys like Rain, Shell, 6 Feet, and some of these older coaches that we've had on the podcast, and older, not their age, but old in terms of they've been around a long time playing in this league, that they know the standard, right? And they're,
I don't know that I include Shell in that, because I mean, he likes to break the 35-point rule.
Yeah,
but,
you're right. That's fair. But no, I mean, and you know what? And that kind of brings me to my next point. Like we want to say this. I mean, this is no secret. We've probably had like 7 or 8 coaches leave the league in the last week. You know, a couple because of time commitment, and hey, this isn't what it used to be, or hey, it's just not for me. That's okay, right? Like we understand that. You know, this is an awesome league. It's a one-of-a-kind 134-person league. If it's not for you, if the stats and the recaps and the coaching reports and the gameplay style is not fun to you, hey, that's totally fine. Now, I do recommend you finish this season out and leave on a high note on good terms, because you never know when you might want to come back. And if you do want to come back and you quit mid-season, you're probably not going to have an easy time getting back in the league. So I think that's good advice for anybody in any life scenario is, you know, don't burn bridges. Let's finish the season out. And hey, if it's not for you, like that's totally fine. The next point.
Yeah. I get it. I get it. If you're burned out or you're struggling with time, I know more than anybody. And what I'll add to that is, I don't know about everybody else, but I don't get a whole lot of enjoyment from the game itself. Like, it just feels a lot like Madden. It's still, there's a lot of glitchy stuff. There's a lot of stuff that I'm hoping gets patched. But at the same time, I have fun playing in this league. And I don't play this game a whole lot outside of the league. But, you know, it is time consuming. It, once you factor in doing recap, doing stats, etc., It's time consuming, and we get it. And I think the one thing that people have to keep in mind too with this is the games don't end if you don't get them in by the weekend. You know, we would obviously like to have everybody on schedule because of polls and everything like that. But if you have a week where you're just swamped, you're not going to get penalized because your games aren't done by Saturday. You know, when the next block opens, it doesn't penalize you if your games aren't played. You're just probably not going to get as many votes in the polls if you're doing well. So if you're struggling with time, just communicate that. I think that's the biggest thing, is communicate it. Let everybody know that your opponents are, that, hey, this week's not a great week for me. I'll get with you next week. And if you need to take time away from the league for a couple of days or a week, we've got the extended absences spot. So, you know, there are a lot of different ways that you can go about it. Just quitting, it hurts the league and it hurts everybody in the league, because then we've got to go and fill the team. You know, if you want to finish out the season and then leave, by all means, we understand that. We respect that. And you're being respectful by honoring your commitment and finishing things out. And who knows? There could be a patch that comes out in that time frame that makes the game better for you. Don't forget, we also have games in next week and the week after. So we may start seeing some of those roster updates where suddenly your team gets better. You know, this is a week-to-week thing. We're all still trying to figure this game out. And again, as we mentioned earlier, if you get to the end of the season and you draft well and you get a really good team next year, all of a sudden everything changes for you. You go from being a team that's struggling every week to having, you know, an Alabama, or having, I don't want to pick on Alabama, but obviously that team's going to be up for grabs. Sorry. Okay. USC Marine. But there are going to be good teams available. No, I mean, he's joked himself. How has he not, you know, been fired from Alabama already? But like I said earlier this season, the Feinbaum show, I wouldn't listen to it. But, you know, there are going to be good teams available next year. There always are good teams available every year in the draft. So don't fret and think, well, I didn't get a good team this year. There's no way I'll ever get a good team because I'm, you know, 2-4. I might as well bounce.
Yeah,
I promise you, you can have a bad team this year. Go have a poor record and be drafting and get a really good team next season. So stick it out. I promise you, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. And that's a great segue to my next point, is that, you know, that's one thing, that going 10-2, 11-1, 12-0, even 9-3 now with this new playoff format is not the end all be all of this league, right? Like, obviously we all want to be competitive. We play the game to win the game, right? But at the end of the day, we also play, mostly in this league, play for the community and the enjoyment of what it is. And so for anybody who is 0-5, 1-4, whatever your record is, it may seem like a deep, dark hole of endless, wow, I'm never going to win a game. I think, Jason, I'm not looking at your coaching record, but I'm looking at mine. I had a 1-11 season with Duke. I had a 2-10 season with UMass. 3-9 season with Utah State, 3-9 with Cal. Like, yeah, those are tough seasons, but man, am I glad I stuck it out. Am I glad that I did things, you know, and learned how to do things the right way in this league to get the opportunity to draft a better team. And, you know, I came in as a 17, maybe 18-year-old into the league my first season in 2009, thinking like, oh, I beat all my friends at NCAA. I'm so good in lobbies. I'm so good at this game. And I got into this league and I was like, holy crap. Like, there are some ballers in this league. I am not even close to as good as I thought I was. And so, you know, I'm glad the 17-year-old me stuck it out and didn't quit, you know, because again, you could go 3-9 this year, guys, and ending up at a team like an Oklahoma State or a, you know, a Big Ten school that you really enjoy next season. Like, it's not unrealistic to think.
Yeah, and I think the key part of that is that there is a, and I tell people this all the time with FIFA, you know, there is a difference between being good at the game and being good at exploiting the broken parts of the game. Anybody can learn how to exploit the broken aspects, and, you know, I'm better at everybody than everybody else at using these hot route combinations and this nano blitz set off of this formation. But are you really a good player? And I think that's the adjustment that a lot of people make, is if they come in to a league like this having dominated people because they know all those glitches, and then they come in here and they have to play sim style and they're getting whooped, that is a difficult transition to make. I know that firsthand. The question is, what kind of a game do you want to play? The whole point of this league is so that we can play games that go beyond just, well, you know, I'm going to use these four formations and these four plays. It's about the X's and O's. It's about having more of a realistic football game and having an actual challenge where you have to think. And that's not for everybody, and I get it. But I think if you talk to the guys that are veterans in this league and you talk to the guys that are really enjoying this league, once you get out of that mindset, if you're still in it, and you get to the chess match mindset and you start learning, you know, about different people in the league and you start building friendships and relationships, that takes it to a whole new level, because now you're not just competing against a faceless opponent in a lobby. You're competing against Shell. You're competing against Rain. You're competing against Decane. You know, if somebody goes out there and beats Decane and they do it by playing a sim style game, that's worth more bragging rights than going into a lobby and beating some random dude by 20 points because you knew how to nano blitz. Like, and people will respect you much more for that in this league. I promise you, if you take down a big dog and people go and watch the game and go, wow, he outplayed him. That's how you give yourself that feeling of achievement in this league, is by doing it the right way and still finding a way to win.
Yeah, I mean, all great stuff. We got to stop bringing up Shell's name. We give him way too much credit on this podcast. But one thing I've noticed.
Well, I just want people to beat Shell. I'm trying to manifest it. So
yeah, well, I think I got him late in the season. I won't look too far ahead. But no, one thing I've noticed too, and like, if you are having a down season and you're not winning games, and you know, I think we talked about it in the conference commissioners lobby that we have, or chat that we have, is that it's going to take practice, guys. It's going to take time, right? You know, even if you haven't been playing Madden the past few years, like me or like others, it's, you're not going to be, you know, your finished product in this first season. And one thing I've really liked about other conference chats, I've been hopping in other conference chats, and I don't know if that's frowned upon or cool or not, but like, if you're having a bad season, like, get into your conference chat and chat it up with those guys. Like, the Big Ten has been back and forth talking about things. I've seen the ACC has some banter going in their chat as well. Like, you know, that's a good way to get involved. And like, even if you're not having a great season, you can follow other people's seasons, right? You can take some good things out of your own season. Maybe you play spoiler later in the season in the conference play. You know, I think those are just some things to keep in mind, that you can stay engaged and have fun. And, you know, again, if it's not for you and you don't care to do that, totally fine, right? Like, we're not going to hold you hostage or beg for you to be here. We'd love for you to be here. I think it's a great community, and you'll love it and get a lot out of it. But, you know, to each his own. And, you know, we hope you, again, listen to this first 20 minutes of the podcast and have some good takeaways from it. So anything I missed, Jason?
No, I think that covers most of it.
All right, let's get to football. Block three is not in the books completely, but, you know, we're on to block four. So a lot to get to. I think the first thing to talk about is we are starting conference play. And I see most teams right now are, you know, one, maybe two games into conference play. And I mentioned in the Mountain West chat that, like, hey, it's wide open. It's anybody's. And Swelly was like, nope, it's not mine. And I went to go look at it.
Not mine either.
Yeah. And I went to go look at his record. And I'm like, you're 0-1, man. Like, no one is more than 1-0 or 0-1. Like, it's anybody's, technically. And so that's another thing, too. If you're in one of these small conferences, and we're going to talk about small conferences today, but if you're in these conferences and you're 0-4, say you're 1-4, but you're 1-0 in conference, you're still in the running for a conference championship. And that's something that should be fun and should be exciting, you know, and until you're not. But yeah, that's just, you know, one of these things that, you know, hey, your overall record might not look great, but you're in a conference and you're going to have a lot of fun seeing it unshake. So on to block three, talking about it, I'm looking at it. One thing I've noticed, Jason, is the scoring isn't as crazy as it was the first 2 weeks, or first block, I should say. There are still some high-scoring games in here, but you're really starting to see things even out and come back down to earth. I don't know if it has to do with the patch or if people are just starting to get better at defense, but really starting to see some more realistic scores, minus the South Carolina UConn game, 68-49. But what was your takeaway from block three? What were some games that you thought were interesting?
Well, I think the biggest aspect of what we're seeing in terms of the scores is twofold. One, I think it's people getting into conference play, so you don't have as many of the big conference, little conference mismatches that we've had coming in. And then I think the other part of it too, at least for me, I've noticed I'm slowing down my gameplay. I'm not running a clock or anything like that, but I'm you know, I pick my play and then I get to the line of scrimmage. I read the defense. I look at the blocking. I wait for my opponent to make his adjustments rather than, you know, looking at the defense and then he adjusts right before I make a snap. And now what I saw isn't there anymore. I'm thinking more pre-snap so that I know, okay, this receiver's going here, this receiver's going there. I try to have at least three reads in my head before I snap the ball so that I have fewer opportunity for interceptions, fewer, you know, miss the buttons. And I've seen a couple of my opponents doing the same thing. They're taking their time. And I think that's leading to fewer plays. I'd be curious to see the metadata on that, but I think it's leading to fewer plays per game, which is helping things. I also think people have cleaned up their gameplay. I think early on there were still some people, especially, you know, we're trying to get used to a new game where we got people new to the league. There were some things being done that weren't necessarily sim, and we coached on it. And I think you're starting to see now the fruits coming to bear on that of people not necessarily calling their money plays, not necessarily calling, you know, the same play five times in a game. So I think that has helped bring the scoring down quite a bit as well. To your point in terms of week five, I mean, obviously, yeah, the South Carolina-Connecticut game, I mean, I think the funniest part of that game is that there were, unless somebody screwed up on the box score, there were no points at all scored in the third quarter. Like, how do you have a 68-49 game and you have a quarter where nobody scores a single point? I mean, you could have, wow. They might have hit 150 if, yeah, they might have hit 150 if not for that. SMU knocking off Florida State, I think, was a big result. And I think, you know, we'll talk here about conference standings here in a bit, but SMU, the ACC in general, you've got four teams that have delineated themselves from everybody else. And SMU is a real threat. And I've been saying it since the beginning. Steamroller's a good coach. A lot of close games, you know, 16-14, Central Michigan, Sam Houston State, that there were 16 points scored in the fourth quarter in that game by Central Michigan. So they won by two and they scored all their points in the fourth. I would love to see the replay or the highlights of that game. West Virginia eking out 49-46 yeah. over Marshall looked like a fun game. And then, you know, Notre Dame. How do you only beat Florida by – or U of L by 14? Come on, Rain. I gave you more money than that. I demanded a 35-point win there. I have to dock you in the polls next time. I mean, those are the big things that stood out to me from week five. And then UCF, you know, that cheesy dude. Beating Colorado 27-26, barely holding on in the fourth quarter too, yeah. Giving up 12 points and eking that one out. How did the end of that game go?
So this is a weird game. We played a half and we started the third quarter and got disconnected. We couldn't finish that night, so we got back on the next day and played. And when I tell you this is like just the weirdest game ever, he got up, I want to say 14-0. I scored 17 straight, including a pick six to end the first half to take the lead. And then I was driving to start the third and we disconnected. So we start over the next day. I get the ball to start the second half. I get up 10-0 right away. So I'm like, okay, like I'm up, I'm doing the math. I'm like, I was up three. Okay. I'm up 13. Right. pick six, misses the extra point. I throw a pick six. He misses the extra point. He hits Travis Hunter over the middle. And of course his speed is just insane. Like I couldn't even catch him. Like it was only like a 12, 13 yard pass, but he was off to the races, scored again, missed another extra point. It was off the crossbar twice.
Oh no.
Not the crossbar. Sorry. The upright twice. And I was like, man, okay. Like I got to put this thing to bed. I drive it down with about 30 seconds left, fourth down. He calls a timeout. I'm kicking my field goal. Kick my field goal, miss it by just a sliver somehow, which, again, field goals don't make sense to me. This was mid, like medium power, like perfect kick, and he missed, and I'm like, okay. 30 seconds left. He's got the ball with, like, no timeouts. Second pass play. I get an interception to seal the deal. Really weird game. Shout out to Outlaw for being, you know, reasonable to get that game in. But yeah, that was a weird one in there. I did hear a lot of chat talking about the West Virginia Marshall game, just how back and forth and how crazy that one was. Would love to go back and watch that one. But man, you hit it. I want to talk about SMU. They are they're looking like an absolute wagon right now in the ACC. And I know you called that preseason, but man, two big wins and off to, I think, a 5-0 start. I was surprised not to see him ranked in the top 25 higher. I know he's like 11th or 10th, but we'll talk
10th, yeah.
We'll talk a little more about that in a second. And then one game I had the pleasure of watching, and maybe not to his pleasure, but I watched the Minnesota-Michigan game, and Minnesota was up 21-0 on Michigan at one point, and Michigan stormed back. He actually had a chance to take the lead. It was 21-21, I think, with like 3 minutes to go. Or something like that, and unfortunately, interception and deep run back. And then the last thing I'll talk about that stands out is Michigan State. I think the guy's 1-5. New coach, Corbin Dallas. Shout out Dallas, that's where I live. He's taken Ohio State to the wire, and he's now taken Iowa to a one-possession game to just, I think, today, maybe that was. So really liking what I'm seeing out of him. Again, another reason that if you're 1-5 or 2-4, like, you can still have some pretty badass and fun games in this league.
Yeah. Looking at week six, I think the biggest shock for me, and I had to go and pull up the recap to make sure that, like, somebody hadn't screwed up the stats or something. 7-0, Missouri, Texas A&M. First of all, holding Big Mike to 7 points in itself is an achievement, but is that our first, you know, like,
nonsense,
really big shutout game? Yeah, not counting like overmatched games, but is that like our first real like conference shutout in one of these big conferences, conference versus conference?
I'm not sure. I know there's been some like 28-0s, there's a 35-0s games like that, but yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a 7-0 game that wasn't a sim win at the end of the year, because that's what they were,
yeah,
right? Weren't they just 7-0?
I thought they were 24-21, but something like that.
Maybe, yeah.
But yeah, right. Big Mike held him. Big Mike held Carnell Heisman to 93 yards of offense and only scored one touchdown. I mean, that's insane. That I need to go and find the replay of that game so I can fall asleep to it later. But just kidding. But no, I mean, that I had to pull up the recap and read it to make sure, like, I didn't know if that was a disconnect and they just put the stats in there as a placeholder or what was going on. Tulsa 59-31 over Army, another high scoring game. Ball State is a team that's really surprising me. 44-42 win. Looks like they pulled that out in the fourth quarter. I believe they're undefeated. Yeah, they're 5-0 on the season. Ball State is. Boise State 3-point win over Utah State. Michigan beats Washington 36-34 in overtime on the road. I mean, there were some really good games in this block, some really tightly contested games. And again, I think that's what we're seeing more and more of as we get to conference play. And I'm curious as well how much of that is guys going back watching games of their opponents from previous matchups and getting a little bit of a scouting report.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I should probably be doing with some big upcoming games here, and I'm sure I will once we get down to the nitty gritty of the conference schedule. But man, great action these last I say 2 weeks, literal weeks in the game, not actual weeks in real life. But yeah, a lot of people are starting to stand out. You know, I think it's no surprise. We'll dive into top 25. I just pulled it up here. I think Kansas has been pretty highly rated throughout this season anyways, because, you know, they're a pretty fun team. I think a lot of people know they have some awesome players in this game, but I want to talk about him to start. You know, coming in at number 11, Kansas is looking like he is taking care of business every week he's playing. You know, obviously we'll go 1-2-3 here again, unchanged. You know, no credit to D or discredit to D Kane, but I actually did change my number one vote this week to Rain, just because he has been in the spotlight a few times here and looking super impressive. But I'll turn it back to you, Jason. What do you see in this week's top 25? What are your overall reactions?
I mean, you've got four SEC teams in the top 10, you've, or top 9, you've got three of them in the top 5. And we've got some, you know, you've got Georgia number 1, you've got Missouri number 4, Tennessee number 5. Tennessee and Florida play each other this block. The Gators are number 9. So I think we're going to start to see some separation there in the SEC. I feel like SMU should be rated higher. I think I had them like 5th or 6th overall. I would have had them closer to the top 5. Toledo in the top 25, I think, is a team that, again, I predicted them before the season started of being a threatening team. Their owner tried to tell us we were crazy and setting him up, and look at what he's doing. So, you know, there are a lot of good lower conference teams that I think should be getting a look. But you know, this is, you've got the big names. That's one of the things that happens with polls, both virtual from our game and real life. You get some of the bigger names. I am glad to see UMass in there. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, UMass and Notre Dame are independent teams and they're both undefeated right now. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can run things out and remain unbeaten. Do we get two independent teams in the playoff? SMU, again, I think the ACC is a tough league to predict, but you've got them 10th, you've got Clemson 13th, you've got Florida State 24th, and then Duke. Where is Duke? That was my biggest, when I'm looking at the polls, I'm like, why is Duke not ranked in the top 25? For me, that was the biggest snub.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. Duke, and even I thought Baylor was going to be a lot higher. I thought he had put the league on notice this week. But, you know, it takes time, and you know, there's a lot of other deserving teams here. But, yeah, the ACC, I mean, my favorite team to follow right now, and this may sound weird to me, be like, oh, you follow other people's teams? Like, yeah, I do. That's kind of the fun part of this league. But SMU is my favorite team to follow right now. Every time I see him stream or his games on or a score pop up, I'm interested. I want to read what happened. I want to see the stats. Maybe because, you know, I drive past SMU campus every day on my way to work or damn near. And you know, that school is local to me and I like to follow them, but, you know, Steamroller's been in this league a long time. He's got a great coaching record. Love to see what he's doing with that team. I mean, you got teams like Northwestern that are almost cracking the top 10. But yeah, love to see UMass in there, Toledo. I would have loved to see App State in here. I know we got Ball State that's kind of scratching right now the top 25, but I think you're right. I think one more week of some good games, you're going to see Duke pop into there. And then I love to see out of the Big 12. One, I didn't expect to stay in the top 25, so I guess I appreciate the love, y'all. But Cincinnati, love to see him getting some recognition as well. We're actually playing tonight after this podcast. Should be a fun game. So, yeah, I mean, you know, things are starting to shake out. And I think one thing to mention, guys, is that next week we will have Holmey on, or try to get him on, to discuss the Massey ratings and the college football process. It will not be a committee of us old heads choosing who is going to be in the college football playoff. It is going to be the format of your four conference champions, your top-ranked G5 team. Did I say that right? Yeah, your top-ranked G5 team, and then, of course, the top 12 after that. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but that way it's more of a formula and a computer rating based on everything involved. And I think we did Massey ratings before, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct, Jason? We did that years and years ago? Okay, yeah. So, the top 25 is out, and you know, I saw some guys like South Carolina out there kind of lobbying for some votes, and not necessarily lobbying, but kind of taking note of like, oh, I'm 4-1 in the SEC and no one's looking at me. Like, it's gonna keep evening out with some of these big matchups that are coming up. So,
yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing where everything plays out. We've got so many big games this week that are going to, I think, drastically affect where everything stands, both in the polls and in the Massey ratings.
Exactly. So yeah, let's move into block 4. I guess we're running a little bit behind, but games of the week are out for block 4. I'll read them off here. You guys have probably all seen them on the website by now. We got Georgia versus Mississippi State. We got a huge top 10 matchup, Tennessee versus Florida. Then we have some small conference love. We get UMass versus Temple. And then we also have some MACtion. We're getting Kent State versus Ball State. And then another big one, of course, these two teams are going to play a lot more big games the rest of the year, but Oregon and Ohio State. So of those games, Jason, I'm going to tell you my favorite off the bat. I'm excited to see Temple and UMass. I love to see, you know, the small schools getting in here, and we want to spotlight the Group of Five conferences more often. But what game in here stands out to you, and what do you like?
For me, it's Ball State, Kent State, because that is a, I mean, that is a game that could knock one of the teams out of the playoff. Right. You know, strength of schedule is one of the things that comes into play. And, you know, Ball State is 5-0 in the season, but their opponent's record is 9-14. You know, Kent State is 4-0 on the season. Their opponent's record is 8-12. It's going to be a very good game. They're both high scoring offenses. Kent State's got a bit better defense on the season so far than what Ball State has. So, I mean, again, there is so much to play for in that game that if I can find the time, which lately has been difficult, if I can find the time and you know, find out when they're going to play, I'm going to try to watch that one. But and then, you know, you nailed the Oregon-Ohio State game. I think that's going to be a huge game, especially for, I don't think this is one of those that'll knock somebody out of the playoff, obviously, but it's going to go a long way towards deciding who wins the Big Ten.
Yeah, there was a couple games that did not make this list. So just for transparency purposes, I usually seek out 10 games from the 2 weeks that we are on to look at, like, hey, what are the 10 best games? And then I send it out for a vote to see which get the top five most votes. There were some other really good ones. Kent State actually has a really tough block. They have Bowling Green and Ball State back to back. I think Bowling Green is like 4-1 right now, undefeated in conference. You're going to see a lot of things shake out, I think, in just these 2 weeks alone, in terms of, you know, results in the games. You know,
kind and of Bowling Green's a team averaging like 45 points a game, yeah. Too.
Yeah. No, I've played him in some scrims, man. The offense is great. He's got that thing humming. I know the defense probably isn't up to his liking as much, but other games I look at, I really like Florida State, Duke. You know, SMU took care of business on Florida State, so I think they're sitting in a spot where, like, they probably can't afford to lose another one. And then, you know, Duke, I think, is not quite in that spot yet, but that could, like you said, you start to see these de facto playoff games happening through through conference play. Any other games in weeks 8 or 9?
No, not off the top of my head. I mean, you've nailed most of them. It's just, again, it's, we're going to see, and keep in mind, there are some teams that have only played 2 or 3 games that, you know, they may be playing games this week that, because their records aren't 4-0, 5-0, 5-1, don't seem as big, that could very well end up being key games when we get to the end of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, guys. A lot of fun. It's we're playing in these weeks now, I think, that are you're going to see a lot of, like, the real life big games that we're all looking forward to this season. I think I've seen it floating on Instagram or Facebook and all over about October 12th being like the day that you do not want to have a wedding this year or have to go to a wedding, because there's so much good football, and really all season long. But we'll transition. That's kind of the outlook here on block four. As promised, we do want to give some love to these smaller conferences. We've talked a lot about bigger teams and bigger conferences, but I'll start at the top. I want to talk about the American Athletic. Again, it's starting to see things a little more clearly. You know, Temple has been a revelation. I don't think they're a very great, great rated team on this game, but you know, El Jefe has been off to a hot start. 5-0, 2-0 in conference. No surprise that he's on a game of the week against another 5-0 team. You know, if you could go back and change your prediction, Jason, back, you know, what, 5-6 weeks ago when we first started the podcast, who do you like out of the American Athletic, or what are you seeing there?
I mean, Temple's got to be the team right now. I thought Memphis was going to be better. They're 3-2 right now. There's still time, but and then Tulane obviously was the team that I thought was going to be the best. They're 2-4 so far this season. Doc's played some tough games, but already, you know, 2-1 in conference. So already behind the eight ball, 1-3 at home this season, kind of shocking. He's given up 282 points in six games. That's brutal. If you can't get stops on this game, it makes it so hard to win. And then North Texas, I thought was going to be a team that could surprise some people with FSU Penguin. They're 1-4 this season. So I think right now it's Temple's to lose, barring him making mistakes. I think, El Jefe's taking this one.
Yeah, I got to talk about Dock at Tulane. Every game I see is in like the 50s or 60s that he's playing. And man, I got to catch one of these streams one of these times because it looks fun. I couldn't even fathom scoring that many points, probably because I have to run the ball a lot. I don't have a great quarterback or receiving core. But man, those games seem like they're kind of off the chain for sure. We'll move right along. I'm with you. I think El Jefe and Temple is kind of in the driver's seat there. But we'll move along to Conference USA. Really, really surprised to see Wasted 0-5. Now, he is only 0-1 in conference, so still wide open to anybody. I've said this a lot. Like, hey, if you're one of these teams that went out of conference and played a lot of big name coaches and big name teams, you're not out of it. But I think Liberty's been, the best team so far. You see Pat playing pretty well, off to a 1-0 start in the conference. I'll ask you the same question. If you can go back in time, who are you predicting this time around?
I thought SMU was going to be a good team in this conference, and they've proven it so far. I thought we were on ACC.
Sorry, Conference USA. Conference? We're going small conferences.
Sorry, I thought we were going. Yeah, I was scrolling down. I was reading something while you're. It's been a long man. Full disclosure, everybody. It's been a really long weekend for me. I've had some stuff going on, so I apologize for that. I'm sure I'll get made fun of in the comments for that one. But
no,
I mean, we knew Liberty was going to be a good team. We knew coming into the season that roster is stacked. There's a reason why they went high in the draft. I thought that Western Kentucky would, because their offense is really solid, but I did mention that their defense was poor at times, especially in the secondary. Wasted's been outscored 145-64, and he's 0-5. That's the one of the bigger shocks to me. I thought he was going to do well with that team. Louisiana Tech 0-3. I thought Jeff Moe would be able to do some stuff with that team. I mean, right now it looks like it's Liberty, maybe Middle Tennessee State with Pat. I've played him a couple times. He's really good at this game. He understands the X's and O's. Mm-hmm. I think if he can get a win against Liberty, then it makes things interesting. But otherwise, I think Liberty's talent is just too good with their team right now.
Yeah, it's again still wide open, right? No one's further than a game and a half behind. But you said Wasted. You're like, oh, I'm surprised. He still might get it going. Like, I believe in him, and I know he'll probably listen to this and be like, y'all are crazy. But I've played him in some scrims, man.
Well, his opponent record is 15-8.
Yes, that's
so. It's not like he's losing to scrubs.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm with you. Well, I'm going to go with Pat on this one. No discredit to Liberty. They're playing great. I think they did kind of get humbled last week against the big dog LSU, but as expected, right? SEC school, big team, probably going to take care of business at home. But yeah, I like Middle Tennessee in here. We'll skip the independents. You guys have already gotten enough love, and it's technically not a conference. we'll go to the Mid-American, the MAC. Really interested in this conference. We got Toledo 4-0, but they haven't played a conference game yet. Then you have Ball State 5-0, Bowling Green 4-1, Kent State 4-0. Man, there's some dogs in this conference. There's some guys who can ball. So no pun intended with Ball State, but I guess here I'm going to predict Bowling Green. I just don't think with his offense that the defenses in this conference can stop him. And the only team that probably could is Miami, Ohio, with how good their defense is. But, Sutton's off to an 0-2 start. Again, no conference game, so, a lot could change. But I think I'm leaning toward Bowling Green here.
Yeah, and Sutton's given up 83 points over the two games. Sutton's opponents that he's played are 9-0 on the season, by the way. So We don't really know yet on that one. No, I think Bowling Green, it's not just that Bowling Green's been doing well. Their opponents are 12-12. But they've also scored 211 points and only given up 141 through five games. So they're beating their opponents by significant amounts. And like you said, with that offense, if you've got an offense and you're able to play enough defense, to get a couple stops. If you've got one of these elite offenses for your conference, it changes everything for you. Because playing defense is so hard in this game. And if you fall behind, it can be tough to catch back up unless your opponent makes mistakes. If you've got an offense as balanced as that one with playmakers, there's never a situation where you can't hit a big play and put numbers on the board.
Yeah, if I had to predict a conference championship game out of this conference, I'd probably go with Toledo and Bowling Green. I think that would be the most fun game to see in this conference championship. Again, no discredit to anybody else, not talking poorly. You know, Kent State, Ball State, really good new coaches, off to a hot start. But yeah, that's where my head goes with this conference. We'll move down a little bit into
Toledo, and on that point, Toledo's got the biggest game breaker in the conference. That running back can go to the house anytime. I mean, when you have a weapon like that, especially like you said in a smaller conference, it's very hard to stop.
We'll move on to the Mountain West. I guess I'll do the bulk of the talking here because I am the conference commissioner. I'm
playing in this one, so yes, I'm going to sit this one out.
This is a really tough one. This is why I sent that message out today in my conference chat of like, hey guys, like even if you're not playing that great, 1-4, whatever, like you still got a shot. Your conference record in this conference is going to matter a lot more than your overall record. And hopefully that makes it fun, right? That you're competing with these 12 guys for a conference championship. And even if you're not, like, hopefully you're still having fun, of course, right? But I released my power rankings, and I went back to the big dogs. Again, no pun intended. I had Fresno State up top. I have and Boise, you guys. And I know you're probably thinking, like, why would you have me at the top of the power rankings? I've gotten my butt kicked. Yeah, you've gotten your butt kicked by, like, the number three best team in this game. The rest of your games I've had a chance to watch. Fresno State's a good team. They got a really good offense. Yes, your defense is going to give you some trouble here, but if I had to go back and predict what this conference is going to look like, man, Hawaii 2-0 off to a good start. I think I'm going to go with Fresno State versus
San Diego. Don't you put that evil on me.
San Diego
State. Don't you put that evil on me.
He had a good win against Texas, and I know Jeff Daddy's off to a 2-0 start. He'll have a lot to say about it with his play, but I'm going to go with those two teams, and then I won't predict a champion because, you know, probably conflict of interest there. But I guess, Jason, what are you seeing in your conference so far? How are you enjoying it?
First of all, don't put that evil on me. Don't do that. Don't put that target on my back. And second, I'm just here.
You did it to me last week.
I'm just here so I don't get fined. I'm not giving anybody bulletin board material, all right? I am only here so I don't get fined.
That's fair. I won't make you make a prediction, but what, like, I guess, how have you enjoyed this conference so far, and what are you liking?
I mean, it's a balanced conference. There are a lot of teams like mine that has, you know, really good players on one side of the ball, not necessarily on the other. I think there's going to be a lot of back and forth games in this one. I've only played the one game. It was in New Mexico, and it was back and forth, and I, you know, had to drive down the field 5 minutes to go to win the game. So I think that's what you're going to see. You're going to see a lot of games in this conference coming down to the last possession. You've got good coaches. You've got a lot of good playmakers on these offenses. It's going to come down, I think, to who makes the fewest mistakes.
Yeah, will be fun indeed. A lot of this conference went out and played some of their old buddies and some big name games, which was cool to see. I got to shout out Utah State, had a big upset last week. I think we briefly talked about it on the pod, but beat Utah, in-state rival there. Last but certainly not least, the Sun Belt, the Fun Belt Conference. We've only seen a couple conference games happen so far in this one. I've watched some of Holmes' games. I've watched Coastal Carolina. It's a shame that this conference still does divisions, because we're going to get a team from one division and then a team from the other, when you could, in theory, see the two best teams on one side of this conference. But then again, it'll make it fun when those two teams play each other, because that's going to be a de facto conference semifinal, if you will. So I'll get us started here again, too. It's hard for me. I love Holmes. He's playing great. Man, he's got a good feel for that team. But Coastal Carolina looks like they're on another level. I'm going to say Coastal is going to take the east side of this conference. Interested to see what Marshall does after that big game against Shell, once he gets into conference play. And then on the other side, I'm going to go with Dave at Southern Miss. I think that was your preseason prediction was Southern Miss, but give us your outtake on the Sun Belt.
The weird, and I've played Dave in the Cup. I mean, he did exceptionally well. He's gone out and he's won at Virginia Tech. The weird thing about Dave is his opponents are 1-16 this season. So it's hard to get a full read on whether I just suck and he torched me in the Cup and he's just, or that he's really that good. I think it's, we're going to get better answers. We get into, 2-16. Somebody played a game. It looks like since I last refreshed this. But I mean, he is very good defensively. He's extremely good at controlling the secondary with the user player, as I discovered quickly with 2 pick-sixes. The fact that Coastal and Appalachian State are both on the same side is just, it's screwed up and it really sucks. But that's going to be must watch when those two get together. I think Coastal will come out ahead just from having watched him and some of the results he's pulled this season. But I think it doesn't matter who he faces. It'll be Coastal Carolina winning in the conference championship.
It's going to be fun to watch it unfold. And, you know, obviously these big conferences that we're in or that I'm in get a lot of the attention. And, you know, because they're the best teams in the game and, you know, probably when it comes down to Massey rating times, a lot of these teams are going to be in the playoff conversation. But don't discount the small conferences and the fun that they're going to provide for us as a league. And, you know, we talk about awards, we talk about conference championships, like, something that I've never been able to do in this league is win a conference championship or even be in a conference championship game. So really should be fun to see unfold throughout the season. The last thing I want to talk about today is the Beefy Cup. The Beefy Cup round of 64 is off and running. The bracket is out on the website, and then the scheduling thread is now available in the Discord. One thing I thought was really cool, and I didn't know this was a thing, but if you really go to Holmey's message, read it, pay attention to it, the first bracket game, if you're in the 64, is at UNLV. The next round, if you make it through, you will play at UTEP. The next round, and I don't have it up, sorry, I just lost it on my my Discord app, but basically you're going through as you advance in the Beefy Cup, if you're lucky enough to play at all the schools that Beefy coached in his time in the NDL and played with, which I thought was a really cool touch and cool tribute that Holmey put on there. You know, I didn't even know Beefy. I only interacted with him a couple of times. Wasn't even as close as y'all were with him, a lot of you guys were, but like I even got a little emotional when I read that message because I was like, wow, like that's the attention to detail. That is the NDL difference. That's a really cool way to honor him in this cup. So yeah, pay attention to the Beefy Cup. Jason, anything to mention on that starting on the elimination
rounds? It's UNLV round of 64, UTEP round of 32, Boston College, Sweet 16, SMU Elite 8, Kansas Final Four, and then Army will host the championship game. And I hadn't even thought about it either. A great guy that we lost way too soon and left behind a family and loved him, left behind a community here that loved him. And well, most of us loved him. And, you know, it's just one more way that we can honor his memory and let him know wherever he's at that he is definitely not forgotten.
And if anyone's interested to look up his coaching record, his Hall of Fame, I made the mistake in thinking like, oh, it's Beefy. Like, where's Beefy? And then I remembered it was Sirloin. What his actual
all caps
was.
Sirloin.
So if you have a chance to check out the Hall of Fame of coaches and go check out his record, it's Sirloin on the list under S's. I wonder if there's a way, maybe we can get Holmey on this to like memorialize his page. If there's a way to do that, I don't know if there's like a special you know, thing we can put next to his name, or maybe when you click on his name, it's, you know, in memoriam of Beefy. But yeah, really cool touch. I was fortunate to make it through to play in the round of 64, and I get to play Notre Dame. I get to play the best, to beat the best. You gotta, or to be the best, you gotta beat the best, right? So really honored to be part of that. And, you know, hopefully moving forward, I know some groups struggled to get games in or didn't really maybe quite understand the Beefy Cup and the structure and the setup. But yeah, we're going to keep talking about it, and you'll see some more posts about it. But yeah, really excited to see how that unfolded and what the rest of the rounds are going to look like.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it, not being part of it, because as I mentioned, didn't do very well.
Awesome. Well, that's all we got for you guys today. Again, really hope you listen this week. The listens have been down a little bit. I know, you know, we all have lives, we got stuff going on, but you know, really excited to keep doing this all season long. And again, we just appreciate you guys joining us. Everybody have a great week, and long live the NDL.